From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Welcome to the show that races for the galaxy but ends up in suburbia. It's The Dice Men Cometh, talking tabletop games on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. My name's Trent.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Garth.
And if we sound a little bit nervous this evening, it's because Hobart, where we're broadcasting from, is tearing itself apart as we speak. It is the single freakiest day of weather I have ever seen in my life.
Bizarre.
It is simultaneously hailing, blowing a gale, torrential rain depending on what block you're on. It's blazing hot.
Yeah, and beautiful rainbows.
Four of them.
I know.
And I picked a good day to park my car 15 minutes walk from the centre of the city.
Mark is looking and feeling his best this evening, I'm sure. What's coming up tonight, please, sir?
We have got another huge show, of course. We're going to talk about Kickstarter, lots happening there. We're going to talk about us. And in fact, we're going to talk about, each of us are going to talk about another of us. So that could be very interesting.
It's just to help people get to, we've picked up some new listeners recently. Yeah. So we thought it might be time just to introduce ourselves.
And instead of talking about the games we have been playing, we're going to talk about the games we'd like to be playing, but we haven't had a chance to yet. And we're going to talk about some of our travel plans. Very exciting. And of course, we're in the very, very last stretch of 5 weeks of Five Tribes. Only minutes left. Well, a couple of days.
And there's some really big news on Five Tribes as well that we'll get to later.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Okay, all that and more coming up. But we start this way with Glassjaw. From the album Worship and Tribute, Glassjaw and Cosmopolitan Blood Loss. And that's the sounds that start us off this evening. Ooh. And pleasant sounds they are.
As beautiful as ever.
Trent, Mark and Garth talking tabletop games. Now, normally we start the show with what we've been playing lately, but frankly, there's not been a lot.
Who's got time for games?
I know. I went camping last weekend. Couldn't take board games with me.
That's terrible.
It was awful. Awful. Hated every second of it.
I think I must say it does beat actually working rather than going on camping trips. Hey, Mark.
Yes, I've been working and having kids, not having them as such, but looking after kids. And working and looking after kids, and that's about it.
Jesus Christ.
I just want to talk, because we've only got a week or so of this Five Tribes to go, I just wanted to make sure you guys are aware how valuable this game is that we're giving away to our listeners.
What do you mean?
There was a news today that was on our favourite website, Board Game Geek, that the second edition of Five Tribes is going to remove the slaves. There will be no slaves anymore.
Free the slaves!
Yeah. So this makes this first edition collectors.
Who's complaining about the slaves in Five Tribes?
People.
those people on the internet.
Exactly.
Where were these people, you know, when
Puerto Rico came out years and years and years ago with the little brown circle?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or with the
archipelago
natives to exploit.
Where were you, people?
Yeah, well, their people were probably complaining too, but there's been enough to hear from Days of Wonder that they're going to, you know, change it, and they're going to be, correct my pronunciation, Mark, fakirs?
Yeah, you've got, instead of get the slaves, you've got to get the fakir.
Yeah.
Can I ask everybody to just be very, very precise with their pronunciation?
Yes.
Please.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, it's not fakers, it's fakirs.
F-A-K-I-R.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. So
we are very focused on fakirs. Hi, Bruno. But anyway, I thought that was really quite interesting because there's not going to be any more of this game published that has slaves in it. So we've got a first edition, guys.
We have got
a week and a half,
limited edition.
Mm.
Not only does it have the slaves still in it, but who knows what we might do to it before we send it out to make it even more valuable.
No, wait, we want people to enter the contest.
And I must say, there have been a lot of entries coming in the last week or so it's been fantastic.
People waiting to the last minute,
of course. Yeah, we've been putting some up on the website, but there's more to come.
Until the 31st of March, all you've got to do is do what?
You've just got to email dicemencometh@gmail.com with a photo or a video or some media that shows you playing a favourite game, have mates around the table, do something that just, you know, promotes board gaming, and we'll stick it up on the website and you might win the prize.
And all of that with thanks to our friendly local game store, Area 52.
Yes, absolutely.
Who've provided us from the goodness of their hearts with this extremely valuable collector's item.
Is it ever?
Too late to get it back now, guys.
And I did note, though, that, well, particularly at the start of the competition, they did have a few copies of the game in anticipation of how popular it will be after this competition. So if you can't get your first edition from our competition, there may be a couple of people who can still get in there.
All right, so that's Five Tribes, but stuff, well, Five Tribes is one of the last things I played, but it was weeks ago. I haven't been playing a hell of a lot, any of us. Is there something you'd like to be playing? At least, can we talk about games we'd like to be playing?
Absolutely. Look, I was reminded the other day, the game that I picked up in my last little trip to Melbourne, that I've been dying to get to the table. No one else in our group seems to have it. Patch History.
Yes.
Because I came back, I read up all the rules, I watched the How to Play videos. Now it's all fallen out. This is the game from 2013 from a couple of Korean designers whose names I won't even try to pronounce. It is a fantastic civilization building game with a central mechanic being that you're adding to your civilization with these cards on the table, but part of each card has to overlap the previous card. So you're building, if you like, a patchwork of a civilization, and you're gathering resources, you're putting down leaders, all on these cards with patches. So it's really fantastic. It's quite a heavy Civ game. We're talking probably around the 3 to 4, well, let's say 3 hours by the time we get it under our belt. But look, I've heard a lot of good things about this game, and I really want to get it to the table, but I'm going to have to get back and study it again now. Patch History.
Hurry up, because I'm dying to have a crack at that myself.
Yeah, well, mine's a little bit to the other end of the spectrum because mine is very simply just Majikoro Harbor expansion.
Ah, yes.
I've had this now for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we came oh so close, Trent. We got it to the table, and then I just had to exit stage right and go home, and it was just there, and we didn't get a chance to play it, and it just adds such an interesting dynamic to a lovely game. But what I like about it, apart from adding in a few more establishments, a few more landmarks and what have you, is that it really mixes up the marketplace or the drafting side of things. So rather than just having all the markets out, all the landmarks out where you can just buy anything that's from 1 through to 12, you just shuffle the deck randomly together and just deal it out until you've got 10 unique ones, and it just goes that way. So it really adds an interesting dynamic, and I think it gives you a bit more strategy, I think because I haven't played it yet, where you actually got to try and build your engine with a bit more, I guess, guesswork.
Yeah, I did see this, or in fact, I almost played it at the Hobart Game Society recently, but because we had all newbies at the table, I put all the expansion cards back and we just played with the base game, and I was looking at them all going, oh, gee, that looks really interesting. That one. I really wanted to try it, but we ended up playing the vanilla version, which is still fantastic. Mm. I still loved it. Had a great time. Pulled out the win with one of those 30 money rounds. You know, with like Cheesecake Factories and 2 McDonald's or something, you know.
Here I am thinking what a nice guy you are, putting off the advanced juicy card so you can play with the new people who come to the Hobart Game Society, and you crush them.
It was an accidental win.
How about you, Trent?
Well, look, if I was thinking about stuff I'd really like to play, I may as well sort of shoot for the sky. But this is a little bit like the Everest that Mark's been talking about in Here I Stand. I really want to play this new game, Fire in the Lake.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so this is from GMT. It's the latest in their coin series, which is an abbreviation of Counterinsurgency. It's a fourth one in that series.
Oh.
It's asymmetrical combat, it's area control and politics. You can play solo or with four players. Everyone's got different powers, different goals. It's lots of wooden pieces and event cards that look a little bit similar to the ones that are in Twilight Struggle, but there's an interesting mechanic in it where you get two cards coming out at once, and you've got the first one you have to deal with, but you know what the next one's going to be, and you have a choice whether or not you want to enact the one that's on the first card, or wait, or give it to an opponent and wait and see what's coming up with the next one. So, it's actually designed by a wargaming legend, Mark Herman, or Herman, I think you pronounce it, and Volko Ruska, who made Labyrinth, who's actually a CIA analyst in his in his day job. But it's a real immersion in the history of the Vietnam War, and again, we've talked about this before. Is it right to have war as entertainment in this kind of context? But I have to say, it seems like a very serious treatment of the subject.
Mm.
You know, it's like Platoon, not like Counter-Strike.
Okay.
You know what, know what I'm saying? So I think it's worthy, but I think mainly I'm wishing that I'm wishing if I had this, it would be because I had the time to play it.
Yeah.
And I guess I'd also be a better person if I could understand it. So
but if you like that, why are you so turned off by Virgin Queen? Because it's very similar with the asymmetric powers. It's, yes, it's six players. Sure. And I guess it's something that did happen a long time ago.
It honestly is, because the history is more immediate. And look, Garth and I have been listening to a lot of the podcast, Hardcore History, with Dan Carlin.
Quote.
It was a bloodbath. It was a, quote, bloodbath, unquote. Fantastic podcast.
Yeah.
And look, he hasn't done one on Vietnam, as far as I'm aware, but he really brings that military history to life. And the box looks like the poster for Apocalypse Now which doesn't hurt. So hence, if only I had the time and the brain power.
But these asymmetrical war games are fantastic. And I did take the liberty of posting the other day in the Southern Wargamers Facebook page here in Hobart to let a few of those grognards know about us. So hopefully we might be able to talk about some of these games more in the future as we get more educated.
Can I be honest? I don't know what a grognard is.
Funny you should say that. I was listening to a podcast this morning. They were talking about a new war game. The reason why I'm talking about it is that it was illustrated by one of the guys from the Charlie Hebdo massacre, and it was literally sent to the publishers days before the massacre happened.
Wow.
And this game is about infantry in World War One in trenches, but it's not actually a war game. It's actually about the psychology of these guys and how it's a cooperative game, how they work together to survive. And in the game is called, I think it's called La Poulot. I'm not sure of my French, but it means Harry's. Mm-hmm. And that was the term for these infantry, not because of their like unsavory habits, but because most of them came from rural backgrounds with beards and big bushy moustaches.
Right, right.
And that's how they were described, not just the French ones, but also all the others. And, you
grognard.
Know, that, yeah, and grognard is also a French term, and it means something like lazy. So I'm going to just look at Mr. Google right now.
We're going to jump onto Google, and we'll come back to this in just a moment. This is the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, where we're talking about... while we're talking about us, let's keep doing that next. It's a song by Bonobo and Towers. Is the name of that one, and you're listening to it on Edge Radio. This is a little show called The Dice Men Cometh, where we have taken a quick lesson in French pronunciation. And how is it you pronounce that game again? By the features the illustration
Le Poilu
from the one of the guys who died in the
Charlie Hebdo massacre. Tignes is his name, the illustrator. And so, as well as illustrating Charlie Hebdo, he's illustrated a few games, and this game Le Poilus, as we said. It literally translated as the Hairies, which is what they called the infantrymen in World War One.
So it's like grunts.
Exactly. And it's a cooperative game where it's life in the trenches, basically, for these lower class infantrymen. Sounds really fascinating. The Dice Men Cometh must issue an official apology to wargamers everywhere, because grognards, of course, does not mean lazy. Its literal translation is grumbler. But it really comes from an old soldier is where it came from, which then came to refer to people, older people playing war games about older conflicts.
French,
so there you go, grognards.
French idiom.
Yes.
Is the word I'm looking for.
There you go. But look, the Le Poilu, it just sounds like a fascinating game. Mm. I did hear on another podcast, The Spiel, which is a fascinating podcast, they were saying it is only going to be a European production, although I've just looked at Board Game Geek, and it is saying that Cool Mini or Not, who aren't my best of friends with their Kickstarters, may be involved. So who knows, we might see an English version. It looks fascinating, and the illustrations from Tignes just look very much like you took Asterisks and some of those other French cartoons and put them into that World War One. Fascinating.
And we'll be talking more about Kickstarter a little bit later in the show. But for now, we've realised that we've picked up a few new listeners in recent weeks. So we thought we might just be a little bit self-indulgent, or you could look at it a different way, I suppose. We're actually going to try and introduce ourselves to new listeners a little bit and talk about our likes and dislikes and help people get to know us, the Dice Men.
The real you.
A little better. Right, get to know the truth about what our gaming likes and dislikes are and what our character flaws are. And I'm sure they're all about to be illuminated with an extremely large spotlight. Who's going first with this? Mark?
Look, Trent, I thought that I would introduce you to our
fantastic
listeners. And of course, when I first thought about introducing you, you know, a four-letter...
We're talking about our gaming likes and dislikes, all right?
Yeah. A four-letter word came to mind.
Right.
But I thought I'd put that four-letter word away and use two other four-letter words. And I would describe you, Trent, you play hard. That's how I'd like to describe you. You go all in. You fight to the last minute. You never give up, even though you're usually towards the back end of the score track.
That's really not true. I do give up quite often.
No, it doesn't come across that way. And I think part of the way you fight hard is with your, let's call them Jedi mind trick, your persuasiveness. Because you are good at getting someone to attack someone else that's not you. They don't work on me, of course, but they work on many other people.
That is true, because I'm such a lame player of most games myself. All I can do is twist other people to doing my will.
I should turn my pages in my diary back to bad board gaming behaviour, and we might just rescore ourselves, will we?
And look, I think where I have a bit of a problem with my memory, and most commonly heard from me, is I had a cunning plan, and of course I've planned it out, and by the time it's come back to my turn, I've forgot what it was.
Yeah.
I think, if queried, 6 out of 10 of your synapses would agree that perhaps the communication could be better, because you sometimes don't approach things with a long-term strategy. You're a very good tactical fighter, but sometimes we don't see that long-term strategy coming out.
I think that's also quite fair, because I often just kind of, let's be frank, shoot my load too early and then end up sort of trailing behind. Yeah.
But look, I think, you love cooperative games. You love to be part of the team.
I can win those.
Yeah. You love to be part of the team, and you're very encouraging towards people. You're not that alpha gamer that will say, look, just shut up. This is what we should do. You're very encouraging of the other players, particularly of your 8-year-old daughter, to get her in. And, she often does lead you to victory. Unfortunately, you've taught her so well that she often beats you in normal games. What else have I got to say? Oh, look, you love the intense games. And we already talked today about Fire in the Lake, Twilight Imperium, 3rd edition, Twilight Struggle. You love those. You get so invested in those, and it's actually fun to see how much you enjoy those games. I love watching you play games, Trent, because you really throw yourself in. I love beating you because you just take it so personally. But, there's no one I'd rather play a game with than you, Trent.
Oh, wow, what a loving.
That's actually quite nice. It is. I've come out of that quite well.
I'm disappointed I didn't get to talk about Trent now.
Well, here's where it gets fun, because I drew Garth to talk about and to explain a little bit about his gaming behaviour. And I guess first up I need to explain for anyone who doesn't know that Garth and I are actually brothers-in-law, which means that we married the same woman. Isn't that what it means?
Well, it is Tasmania.
I'm pretty sure. Mm. And as such, Garth actually worships pretty much everything I do. And it started with moving to Tasmania. It continued with frisbee golf. I had a brief dalliance in the frisbee golf world, and Garth followed me into that, and he ended up... Well, you're still playing, aren't you?
I'm currently wearing a frisbee golf t-shirt.
I've given up on that one, and now he's followed me into board games, and not coincidentally, this bloody podcast. I can't get rid of him. I keep trying to establish something away from him. As such, the man's got no valid opinions that sort of he hasn't stolen off somebody else. So he heard that Cosmic Encounter was one of the best games out there, and he's decided that's going to be his favorite favorite game. Am I wrong?
No. But it is a damn good game.
It is, and I think this actually goes to the heart of what you like in a game, and that is that you love conflict and you love opportunities to demonstrate how smart you are and to outthink your opponents and to manipulate them.
Well, I also spend my whole day being nice to people.
Yeah.
So it's my it's my escape where I can just be ruthless.
Yeah. I mean, cuz you're quite good with the psychology, all right? And you know, reading people. But I think the other side of that coin is that you also don't like what you don't understand.
Mm.
And so when a game comes along like Zolkin, which I think is a game that you should like, but I just don't think you'd quite sussed out how all those gears work, and you said, nah, I never want to play this again. It just purely because you hadn't mastered it.
Well, I did play it again on Board Game Arena.
Oh, all right. And how did you go with it?
I came about last by about 50 points.
Okay, right. So, yeah. So again, you won't be coming back to that. In a hurry, but the main thing that you should know about Garth, if you ever get a chance to play a game with him, is that he is a dark horse who will stab you in the back as soon as look at you when the chips are down. Do not trust the man. Who's a member of my family? I ought to know.
And we do play a fair few games together, so unfortunately you are very, very correct.
But
if we play games, then, you know, trust me, I'll be good. Right. Mark.
Garth.
This is your life. This is your life.
Oh, dear.
Now, what were you saying about me? Okay. Now, Mark, it's odd that you're wearing the one T-shirt that you own, because I'd already written down the only T-shirt Mark owns is Breaking Bad, and it has Heisenberg on it. And what have you got? What are you wearing tonight?
One of my two copies of this same T-shirt, Garth.
Mark,
he's taken the Einstein approach and just wears the same thing every day. All of the rest of his brain's taken up with games.
Right. Oh, dear, Mark. Just living the stereotype, I guess. Look, you're a big, big fan of Euros, aren't you, Mark? You just love boring Euros like Tolkien.
Not necessarily.
See? He loves them. But the one thing I've noticed about you, Mark, is that we do play a lot of games together. You like the Days of Wonder ones. You said you basically went out and collected everything when you started this wonderful hobby. And finally getting to your house, it took me months and months and months to finally get one of those elusive invites.
Yes.
There was an absolute cupboard full of Days of Wonder stuff. So you're obviously a big fan. I just wanted to ask you, which was the first game that went into your cupboard and you went, yep, that's the one for me?
It was Pirate's Cove, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Second-hand copy that I purchased off a guy whose BGG name is, funnily enough, De Pirate.
There you go.
Dave Cox, a guy here in Sydney or Melbourne, I'm not sure, but I got it off him second-hand. And for me, the Days of Wonder was the aesthetic, firstly, made me fall in love with the game, and then just seeing things that were in advance from very, very basic games. You know, I mean, those, looking back now, Those Days of Wonder games are quite simple, but they really were a great entry into the hobby.
Excellent. No, it's true. But would you like to know? Because I did a little bit of research on you on Board Game Geek. Do you want to know what your highest rated game is that you've voted?
Oh, dear.
So it's Zombies from 2001. And do you know what rating you gave it? You gave this a 10.
What?
10.
Oh, God, this is when you should go and clean out your Board Game Geek profile, because I sold all of that because I hated it so much.
Yeah.
Clearly not.
Eventually.
Yeah, clearly not at every point in your life.
Yeah. He's also not a fan of Monopoly, because that was rated very lowly, and you do hate Flux, although you rated Zombie Flux really, really highly as well.
Mark,
and
so I thought, what is going on?
I know. So you question my seat here in this radio show, and we've got someone who's just highly rated Zombie Flux.
Shocked and stunned.
And how many games of Demarca have you played, Gar?
None. But I think we've kept him around for his money, because he has a current Geek Gold balance of 382.
Woo-hoo!
That's research I did. And I do know that you love the online stuff. You love your Yukata and you love your Board Game Arena.
Yes.
And I've really got into that in the last few months as well, purely for the same reason. I think there's only so much time, and trying to get to the table is difficult. So I know you're a bit of a fan of that, which is great. You also like talking to people online while you're playing the games, which is something I find a bit odd. I just want to be ruthless competition, you know, that kind of thing. But we'll leave that off air, but you are...
He's trying to expand his social circle.
Yeah. He is, and in this regard, you're also our Twitter and our Facebook star, aren't you? You love to put the posting up. You
social
like
media community manager is the term I like
exactly
to use.
Exactly right.
Because I know there are companies out there that hire people for those skills.
Exactly right. And I thought I would just finish off with one piece of information I found out about you.
Uh-oh.
That is freely available if you do join the internet.
Uh-oh.
And Mark, do you want to know what you did on the 13th of January this year?
Uh-oh.
You went for the only run that you have logged on Facebook ever. And that, like, if you ever play a game with Mark, you'll pretty much figure out he's done not much running. Just that one.
I did lots of running the year before, Garth. Lots of running.
All I can add to that about Mark is that you can take the man out of the Navy, but you can't take the Navy out of the man. Not with the jaws of life. Okay, so I hope that helps you if you should have the misfortune to run into us or end up, you know, sitting across a table from us at some point. And in fact, there may be an opportunity to do just that. We'll tell you about it in a moment. But next, Mark's going to, excuse me, indulge us with more of his love for things online, and we'll talk Kickstarter next on Edge Radio. It's The Dice Men Cometh.
How long we got?
The Paper Guides with Young. How long we got? Not long at all. In fact, we're on air right now on Edge Radio.
Fantastic.
Trent, Mark and Garth talking tabletop games, and like a defibrillator to the genitals, we're going to talk about all the different ways that you can kickstart a project and the right ways and the wrong ways to do it. And here's Mark to give us a roundup about what's on the internet that you can spend your money on and wait 18 months to maybe turn up.
Absolutely. And look, some really good news firstly to start off. Four projects, Australian projects, that are just finished or just about to finish in the next few minutes, couple of days. Goblin Hunters, El Luchador Fantástico Grande. I may never say that name again.
Now, where's that at?
It's
about 7.5.
It's literally in its last hours, and it's 108, 109% funded.
It's over the line.
Absolutely.
Woo-hoo!
Just got over, I think, yesterday.
Congratulations, Al.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Entropy, of course, gone absolutely berserk. It ended up 870% funded. They were after, I think, $7,000 or $8,000, and they ended up with $70,000. So, I mean, you know, you want a lesson in how to run a Kickstarter. Those guys at Rule and Make, Alan and...
Alistair,
that's right, yeah. I knew it was also like Al, but not Al. Those guys really know how to run a Kickstarter campaign, really doing Australia proud.
And they went out there with all the finished artwork at the start. They had a complete game, and it was easy to sort of get your head around.
Yeah, so those great projects funded. The most exciting one for me, though, I looked at it last night, and it wasn't over the line and didn't look like it was going to make it. Today, it got over. It's the Loaded Dice Gaming Bar in Canberra. I got funded.
I saw that too. Isn't that awesome?
Fantastic.
So these are the guys who are running a friendly local game store in the ACT. They've managed to get the lease for the property next door. They're punching a hole in the wall of their game shop, and they're going to put a bar in the next
it's
room.
Fantastic.
And they've run a Kickstarter campaign to do it, which is, I mean, the gall of it. It's fantastic. Only in Australia. God, we live in a great country.
I cannot wait. CanCon next year. We are so... the Dice Men at the Loaded Dice to get loaded. Absolutely going to happen.
No, we'll be drinking responsibly.
Of course, of course.
Thank you.
Now, look, speaking of how to run a Kickstarter, I also stumbled across another Australian Kickstarter campaign, and frankly, I was scratching my head. It's called Wastelanders. It's a post-apocalyptic trading card game. You should just watch the video just for a lesson on how not to make a Kickstarter video.
Ooh,
I mean, what you don't do is go to your local army disposal store, buy some green clothes. One guy put on a gas mask and one put on a tin helmet and sit in a pile of rubble and reflect on how you've always wanted to make a game and you decided you just would. And this Kickstarter, it looks like that's what they've done without actually designing the game yet. But I don't know. I feel like I might have to eat some humble pie, because last night when I looked at it, it had 4,000 funded of the 15,000. It still had 23 days to go, but it didn't look like it was going to get anywhere near. And it didn't look like, frankly, that it deserved to, because it was talking about being a community project. It was almost effectively like, hey, we want to make this game. Come and help us make it.
A community-driven, strategic, turn-based card game. What does that even mean?
Well, what it means when I read it is they want the ideas to come from the community. So they've designed about three cards of this game. And then the rest of it is going to come from the community. Now, that's the total opposite, as we were just saying with Entropy, where complete artwork, complete game design, you know, it all happening and just basically needing to get the funds. However, I look at this today, less than 24 hours later, it's now funded almost 12,000 or 15,000, but I'm scratching my head, and what do I see? And if someone's got an explanation for this, there's a tier that was there that I don't know if was there last night, where you can pledge $7,500.
What?
Now, the total Kickstarter is only 15, and what you get is you get every card in initial production list sent to you in a custom card box, and you receive all other awards. If this is not the mother of the back of the creators of this campaign coming on here and putting in $7,500, I don't know what it is. Anyway, I guess we'll see what happens.
Can I ask, is that $7,500 plus shipping?
I don't know if that can ship anything.
Actually, I have to say the idea for this is like a collaboration and creating an online community to actually, you know, collaborate around a set of mechanics and develop some card ideas. That sounds like a cool idea. Don't know if Kickstarter is necessarily the place to do
that's
it, though.
That's what I thought, and it's really what it looks like is a really underdeveloped idea. Mm. And I think they should have actually designed at least the majority of the game before it came on. So that's why, to me, it seemed like such a stretch. Put that together with a totally crap video, you know, and you got a recipe for disaster. And yet, you know, someone that's half the project, I'm going to keep a close eye on that one.
Tell us about something.
And it's another out of Bris Vegas.
Right.
You know, what's in the water up there? Anyway, to move on, away from Australia, Train Heist, the cooperative train robbery game, looks really interesting. It's already funded. It's over 100%. With still 19 days to go. It's only $46 Canadian with the $14 shipping to Australia. And it's sort of like based on a racing game where you're robbers hopping on and off the roof of this train. It has robber meeples and it has horse meeples. And the robbers can ride the horses.
That sounds an awful lot like Colt Express, which has that three-dimensional wooden train that you put together.
Yeah, well, this one does as well, and it has a sort of a train travelling on a circle on a back, and I haven't played Colt Express. But look, you know, hey, Rado raves about it in his run-through. He really loves it. So it's interesting. It's already funded, so check that one out. Train Heist. Lord of the Ice Garden, second edition. This is a Polish game, and we know some really fantastic games have come out of Poland, by the group called Red Imp Games. Again, it's already 200% funded. It's still got 11 days to go. Very much a sort of Norse mythology type game. The battle actually takes place on Midgard, which is obviously the Norse game for the Norse name for Earth. Look, it looks really interesting. It's got some fantastic pieces. It's a tabletop battle game with minis, but it has fantastic production values, but not just in the minis. In the actual game itself, it looks really interesting.
Why are they calling it the second edition? Is it a resurrection of an old title?
No. So it's a new title that was available just locally, and basically they've used Kickstarter to create a really fantastic edition and go
version
out to the market. Absolutely right. Look, it looks really great. This one.
So therefore, the game's actually finished. It's been play tested.
Exactly.
And wow, okay.
Exactly.
That's the sort of thing you want to look for.
And look, $75 for the complete game with bucket loads of stuff in it. $40 Australian shipping. But that one's definitely worth a look. Alien Frontiers Big Box came out. It's just finished. Maybe minutes to go, so it's probably too late by the time you're listening to this to get on that one, but I just wanted to mention it was almost 300% funded, but I think the minimum pledge for that was like $125 or $130. It had so much stuff, about 10 expansions or something.
And that was the game that started the whole Kickstarter craze.
Yeah, and it's a great game. I mean, it's a great game. I just don't know what really if they need, again, Kickstarter. Why is it?
Yeah, look, that's right. Now, moving on.
It jumped the shark with all the expansions. It really did.
Yeah, anyway, it has rocket dice.
Yeah, and look, I guess this was the thing for everyone to catch up in one big hit. Now, similarly, Trent, talking about catching up all in one big hit, I don't understand why you never got on Battle of the Electric Vikings.
Oh, yes!
The heavy metal song name, band name card game that as they've just released two more expansions.
Okay.
Can I Play with Vikings? Of course, based on Iron Maiden. And Thrall Viking Sweat Live.
Oh, no way!
Yes, based on Danzig, of course. Now, you can get both the expansions for only $19, or you can get the base game and all three expansions, including the Spinal Tap expansion, for only $44.
I am there.
Now, but I've got some bad news.
I am grinning from ear to ear. Nothing could ruin this.
Oh, you can. Because oh. I think the problem is the shark ran out of legs when they tried to jump it one too many times. It's only got 4 days to go, and it's only 25% funded. So I don't think these expansions will see the light of day, and therefore you may have missed your opportunity. But check it out.
Is there a $10,000 pledge level Trent could, you know, maybe just contribute to?
Oh, it's quite possible. Look, another one that looks really interesting, and following again in this theme of the Japanese minigame, a game called A Chaotic Life. Only $10. $10 to ship to Australia, though, unfortunately. It has 18 cards and some counters, and it basically, you play your life. You start off as a baby, you go to a teen, an adult, you can get married, you can rob a bank and go to jail, you can be successful in a career, you can do all this in 18 cards. So cheap for 10 bucks, I can't believe it. It looks really interesting. You can get married, your wife can rob a bank, all these things. There's a time machine, so you can get a do-over on your life.
Are there alternative careers to being a bank robber?
Yeah. There's all sorts of different careers. You know, good ones.
But in just 18 cards.
Yeah. It's amazing. So half the cards are sort of you and the choices you make. Half the cards are throw in all sorts of left-handed screwdrivers and things like that. And a time machine and death. So you can die before you get through the whole lot. But look, it looks really interesting. And it's another totally different idea done in 18 cards for 10 bucks. $10 shipping to Australia as well.
Sounds fascinating.
Look, it looks really interesting. It's Chaotic Life. I think I missed one here. Look, talking about minis, and you know I'm not really a big fan of the massively overproduced minis, but I'll tell you where minis really work is in the chibi style.
Mm-hmm.
And Ninja All-Stars by Soda Pop Miniatures has the chibi miniatures. You know, it has the Japanese theme. It has ninjas, of course. And it's over 200% funded with, and it's only been going for about 4 days. That one is $25. $100 shipping. $100 for the game. Now it is one of those ones where they're saying shipping will be calculated at the end. We make an estimate $25 shipping to Australia, but you've got to be a little bit careful with that. But it does look really interesting. And one final one. Curse of the Yellow Sign. It's actually three role-playing adventures in the Cthulhu universe.
Right,
now these have already been written. It's from an Origins Award-winning artist, John Wick, who I thought was a action movie star. But he's written this trilogy of Cthulhu adventures based around the Yellow Sign. You can get them as a PDF for only $10. You can get them as a hardcover book for $20. More Cthulhu stuff.
Yeah, and for anyone who got into True Detective and wanted to know more about the Yellow King, I think they called him. So
that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Look, I know what I'm looking at as soon as I get out of here. And I'm jumping on Kickstarter tonight and trying to get that metal game over the line. Thanks, Mark.
No worries. There's more, but you know, you always run out of time with Kickstarter. It's where to look. That's the thing.
Yeah. All right. Dice Man Cometh, Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. We'll be back right after this. Dice Man Cometh on Edge Radio. Gunshotter from Machine Drum. We are just about out of here. But over the past couple of days, we've been planning our next trip, planning our attendance at BorderCon in Albury for 2015.
Can't wait.
10 years of BorderCon they're celebrating. This fantastic little gathering in amongst the bigger cities around it. People from Adelaide, Melbourne, Canberra and Hobart and Sydney all come down together in Albury of all places just to meet up with friends. And you can get all the details on www.bordercon.albury.wodonga.com. I'm not going to try. I can never spell Albury properly. Oh, Albury Wodonga. From the 5th and 8th to the 8th of June at a brand new venue, the Best Western Plus Is it the Hovel Tree Inn?
Yes, that's the one.
Right, yep. Right. So it's moved up the road from the old Hume Inn, which is just a fantastic name in itself. But I think it's fair to say the Bordercon had outgrown that venue.
Yeah, absolutely. And people really struggled to get accommodation there because, of course, everyone wants to stay at the venue so you can just stumble down the stairs into your bed and stumble up first thing in the morning. So now they've moved to a bigger venue, more accommodation. It's only just up the road from the old venue. So some people may stay at the old venue.
You never know your luck.
Yeah.
Look, Bordercon's been a really big deal for us. I think it's fair to say. We've made some really good friends.
Absolutely.
There, and it's going to be Garth's first one.
It will be. I'm really excited about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And no big events get organised as a part of this beyond maybe, you know, hey, let's get everybody together for a big Game of Thrones game or something like that. Mm. It's really just a gathering of friends all coming together just to play some games. And there's kids running around and, yeah.
The other thing that's brilliant about it, and I'm looking forward to participating again this year, is the math trade.
Well, yes.
On BGG, so where everyone mules the games. I don't know if muling is the correct word in that sort of environment, but
mulesing. Yeah, you're thinking of. Yeah.
Everyone brings the games, and you know they deliver them for other people. It's a great opportunity to swap games. I've done it every year so far. I mean, this is our Trent, yours and my third Bordercon in a row, and we've met some fantastic people there. And it's great to walk in the room, see the friendly faces. How are you going? I don't remember your name, but I remember I played a game, and you were a bastard. And, you know, all that fun stuff and the social events that happen around. At the dinners, the games at the dinner table, the beverages.
The curry, from what I hear, hey Trent?
I don't want to talk about it. I seriously don't want to talk about it.
Anyway.
A horrible, horrible experience. So we've booked our accommodation and we've started divvying up who's going to be sharing what rooms. Each room we've got has got a queen-size bed and a single bed in it.
Exactly.
I heard Garth saying that he wanted to grab a queen. I don't quite know what that means. I'll leave that to you. And we've got our flights booked.
We have. And hopefully paid for, guys.
And we're...
guys?
It's good to have someone who works in the travel industry as part of our little group here, isn't it?
We're arriving in Melbourne on the 4th of June, and we thought we might do something fun, because we've got a Thursday night in Melbourne, and, you know, it's three overweight white guys, woo-hoo! You know, away from their spouses.
I don't think we should exclude Ben from this.
Four overweight white guys away from their spouses, and we're just off the leash.
Woo! Yeah,
if you've seen the Hangover movies, it's going to be nothing like that at all, dearest. Is the King Kong musical still showing, Garth?
I don't know, but maybe we could do Wicked or... You know, there's probably some Hollywood costumes show that we could
go
to.
Well, you know what? I had an idea.
Mm. Oh,
wow. I had an idea and, look, forgive me, but I took a liberty and I reached out to those lovely, lovely people based in Melbourne, the Games Laboratory.
Okay.
And you remember I visited there. I hadn't been there before. I visited there last time I went to Melbourne. They were really fantastic. And in that store, they do have a bar.
What?
There's a bit of a theme happening here. They have a bar. And so, look, I just did reach out to them and said, would they mind if we come and paid a visit to them on that Thursday evening? Maybe we could throw down a couple of games. Maybe we just could have a couple of beverages.
Maybe we could do both.
What do you think about that for an idea?
I reckon that sounds pretty awesome.
And look, if there are people who live in Melbourne, maybe, who play games, maybe they might come down to the Games Lab and say hi and play a game with us.
And people who listen to this podcast, both of them,
yeah,
could come and say hello.
Yeah.
And that'd be nice.
Particularly if people are starting off their Bordercon long weekend thinking, oh, Thursday night I'll just stay home and get ready for the big drive the next day. Don't! Come out and party with the Dice Men. You never know where it might lead.
Well, one of us has got the queen bed, haven't we?
Okay, this is the Dice Men on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, reminding you to drink responsibly. And we'll see you next week for the announcement of our 5 Weeks of Five Tribes contest, we'll be unveiling the competition winner. We'll be releasing more of the entries that we've got over the Facebook page. Hello to Cryptic Badger, who sent us a fantastic video, and we've got another video that we're going to put up, and you've still got a couple of days to email them through to dicemencometh@... I never get this right!
dicemencometh@gmail.com.
Thank you.
Internet!
And thank you again to Area 52 for donating the prize. If you do live in Hobart, or if you come to visit Hobart, make sure you drop into Area 52 and check it out. They've got a great board game selection.
All right. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.